As the Lord should be pleased to help this morning, we would direct your prayerful attention to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1 and verse 3. The first chapter in the Acts of the Apostles and the third verse. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. The apostles are the ones, of course, that the word is referring to when it says to whom. In the previous verse, we read that he had, through the Holy Spirit, given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, and it is to those apostles that he showed himself alive after his passion. But not only were there those apostles that he showed himself alive to, but there were others. There were the women, there was Mary Magdalene, and those that we read of in the chapter this morning. How wonderful it is to have this record that the Apostle Paul gives in this chapter we've read of those who saw the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in the chapter we read, not only that the Lord Jesus was buried, but that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The Apostle is writing this to these Corinthians because there were some among them that didn't believe in the resurrection of Christ. And so he shows them very plainly in the first place that these things had been recorded in the Scriptures. And this will be sufficient for the Lord's people to find these things recorded in the Scriptures of truth, because they know the Scriptures are given by God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. But then we read, he was seen of Cephas. And we know that's another name for Peter. And how Peter must have been glad to see the Lord after his resurrection, having denied him 3 times. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present. Those that had seen the Lord Jesus among these 500, many of them still remained alive when Paul wrote this epistle to the Corinthians. They could witness to the fact that Christ was risen. But he says some have fallen asleep. And then he says he was seen of James, and then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. When did the apostles see the Lord Jesus Christ? On that Damascus road. He saw him in his glory, and he heard him speak, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And because of that persecution, the apostle felt to be the least of the apostles, not meet to be called an apostle, because he had persecuted the church of God. But he could say, as I trust many of us can say this morning, by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's only by his grace that we are what we are, even this day. But we want to come to these words then, as we have them here before us, to whom, to these apostles and to others, he showed himself alive. And he gave these infallible proofs. We will look first then at those to whom he showed himself alive, and then secondly at the infallible proofs he gave of his resurrection, as he was seen of them 40 days and spoke to them the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now these things are very wonderfully given to us in the Gospels concerning these various ones that saw the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion. And we have in Mark's Gospel a wonderful outline of those who he showed himself to in order, in a wonderful order. In the last chapter of the Gospel according to Mark, we read this: "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene." This was the first one he showed himself to. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. So it was to this dear woman that he showed himself alive, first of all, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion. And I want just to look at that, because it's so wonderfully set before us in John 20, how that this was the first one that saw him after his resurrection, Mary Magdalene. "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark." Oh, there was love in this woman to the Saviour. Do we know the same kind of love, friends, in our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ that she felt as she wended away that early morning to the sepulchre? And you know, many of those women that went to the sepulchre, they were fearful, they were afraid, and they thought about the stone, the great stone that was upon the sepulchre's mouth. They knew they couldn't roll it away themselves. They said in another gospel, we find it recorded, "Who shall roll us away the stone?" They're like you and I. We come into these various things sometimes and we wonder how we shall manage and how we shall fare. But when we actually come into them, we find, like they did, the stone was rolled away. That which we feared most was gone. And so we read here, when she came to this sepulchre this early morning, she seeth a stone taken away from the sepulchre. We read that the angel rolled it away and sat upon it. And so she runs to Simon Peter and to John, the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and she comes to them with this message: "They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre." The very one she wanted, she couldn't find. I've been thinking in line with these things recently of the spouse in the Song of Solomon, how she said, "By night on my bed I sought him, whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not." Oh, do we know what it is to be seeking after Jesus? Are we seeking him this morning? Have we come up to the sanctuary with those Greeks of old and said, "Sir, we would see Jesus"? This is who she wanted, you see. And this is how we should come to the sanctuary, to find him. But she couldn't find him. And that's how it is with us so often. We can't find him. As with the spouse, she found him not. But she didn't give up the search. She went on seeking, and eventually she found him. "It was but a little that I passed from them, that I found him whom my soul loveth. I found him, and I would not let him go." Oh, what a wonderful thing, friends, if we should find the Saviour that this day, in this sanctuary, and realise his presence with us. He showed himself alive to Mary eventually, but she had to wait. She had to have patience. First of all, she finds him missing. They've taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre. We know not where they've laid him. And this caused Peter to go forth to that sepulchre, and John. And they ran together, both of them. And John did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. He was the more timid of the two. We often find these dispositions today in our lives. There are those that are like John and some that are like Peter. Peter was of a more bold disposition. And when he came to the sepulchre, following on from John, he went into the sepulchre straight away. And he sees the linen clothes lying and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. And the very venturing of Peter into the sepulchre caused John to venture. You know, that's been so in the Church of God sometimes. When the Lord's people have ventured to follow their Lord, another one has ventured. Oh, what a mercy when that is so, when we're enabled to do these things by the grace of God. You remember when we were exercised about these things and about following the Lord, and how at the time when we were brought to it, it was a means of my wife following also. You see, friends, how wonderful it is when we can be forerunners in these things. So it was here. Peter went in, and then John went in to the sepulchre. And we read he saw and believed. John was a wonderful character, you know. He was given great faith. We read of many of the other disciples, they didn't believe when they heard about it. But as soon as John saw the linen clothes and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself, as soon as he saw that, he believed. What a wonderful favour to have that faith, to believe in the resurrection of Christ. But we must come to Mary, the first one that the Lord showed himself alive to. Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. Oh, she felt the loss of her Lord. Do we feel it sometimes when the Lord withdraws from us? Do we feel this same to be in as she stood without at the sepulchre weeping? And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Oh, she wanted to find her beloved. She was longing to see him again. She hears the message from the two angels. Woman, why weepest thou? What does he say to them? Because they have taken away my Lord. First, you see in the chapter we read, she said they have taken away the Lord. Now she says they have taken away my Lord. Can we say what Thomas could say this morning? My Lord and my God. Wonderful thing, you know, when we can claim that. If we can't feel we can this morning, can we join with Miss Steele, who said, my God, my Father, blissful name. Oh, may I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. It's a wonderful thing when we can say, my Lord and my God. So she says to the angel, they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. But you see, it wasn't long now before she found him whom her soul loved. When she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith to him, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Now Jesus only had to speak one word to Mary, and that was sufficient. And that is so with us, you know, when we come into God's house, he only needs to speak one word, and that will be sufficient. If he speaks it, the minister may speak many words, but if Christ speaks one word to your soul this day, it'll be sufficient. One word was this, Mary. Called her by her name. And immediately she responds. She turned herself and said to him, Rabboni, Master. Oh, what a wonderful thing. She realized who it was. She realized she'd found her Saviour at last. And I believe we can say this, she was about to embrace him. She was about to put her arms round him because she felt such a love toward him. Because of what the Lord Jesus says to her, touch me not. I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Oh, how we want to feel this relationship today to our God. My God, my Father, blissful name. Oh, may I call thee mine. Some people glibly say our Father, but you know, friends, we want to be able to say it honestly and sincerely. My Father. And Jesus gives us the relationship here. I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So Mary was the first one that he showed himself to after his passion, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. But then we are given also in Mark other characters that saw him after his resurrection. After that, we read he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And that, of course, refers to those two on the Emmaus Road. They saw the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion. Those two on the Emmaus Road, they were sad. They were walking along the road and talking of those things that had happened in Jerusalem. And the Lord Jesus Christ joins their company. Oh, in each of these cases, you see, the Lord Jesus' company was what they wanted, what they desired. And so the Lord joins these two on the Emmaus Road. And they were drawn out by the Lord Jesus Christ in their conversation. When he says to them, what things are these you are talking about? As you're distressed and you're sad. Oh, they say, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And they were so sad because they said, we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And they speak of the women going to the sepulchre and finding the sepulchre empty. Now, on Good Friday, we were looking at these words at home, where we read, he said to them, O fools, O fools. And friends, we feel just like those two disciples sometimes, so foolish. Do not believe what we should believe. Do not read the scriptures as we should read the scriptures. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Those disciples had the prophets, the prophecies, the Old Testament scriptures in their hands, and they had spoken of the sufferings of Christ. Think of Isaiah 53, for instance. They had all those things recorded there concerning his suffering. And we have scriptures in the Old Testament which speak of his resurrection. They had these things written down. But he says, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? This was the only way we could be saved, by Christ's suffering on the cross at Calvary. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things to fulfill the scriptures? These things had been written, and those scriptures that had been written, that he went over with them as he began at Moses and all the prophets, and expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They testified of his sufferings, of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? But when did the Lord Jesus show himself alive to these two? Our text says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. When did he show himself to these two? When they drew near the village and he made as though he would have gone further, and they constrained him. Do we know what it is sometimes to constrain him, friends, when we come into the sanctuary? To ask him to come in prayer? That's the way we can constrain him to come. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. They constrained him. They said, abide with us. That's what we want him to do, isn't it? We don't want him just to come and tarry with us for a while. We want him to abide with us. Those in the early chapters of John, you know, that came to the Lord Jesus Christ in the first place, they wanted to go where he dwelt. They wanted to dwell with him. Abide with us, these two say. It is toward evening. The day is far spent. And the Lord condescends. If we are unable to ask for his presence, he will come. He went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And this is when he made himself known to them. This is when he showed himself alive to these two after his passion, as he was breaking the bread. And that's how he shows himself to us, you know, still, in the breaking of the bread of life, the gospel as it's preached. And when we come sometimes to the Lord's table, the supper, and we break the bread there, sometimes the Lord manifests himself to us at the Lord's table. This is when he showed himself alive to these two, as he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And we read, their eyes were opened and they knew him. He showed himself alive after his passion. And as they knew who he was, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? They felt they'd received something along that journey. As they heard him go back over the scriptures, their hearts began to warm. That's what we want to feel in the sanctuary. Our hearts begin to warm within us. We often feel so cold. If one may speak for others, friends, we often feel it to be a long winter sometimes. Ah, my winter has been long. Chilled my hopes and stopped my song. Winter threatens to destroy life and hope and every joy. But when he comes and when he makes himself known to us, there's a warming in our hearts. And they said, did not our heart, one heart, they were one in heart, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they could go all the way back to Jerusalem and tell the 11 as they were gathered together, the Lord is risen indeed. They told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. He showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Now, we find in the next place, as it's wonderfully recorded in Mark and given to us in order, I feel, in that last chapter of Mark. What do we see next? After he speaks of the Lord appearing in another form to two of them as they walked in the and went into the country, he says in the 14th verse there, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. to whom he showed himself alive after his passion. And so we find him in the 20th of John, making himself known, showing himself alive to these in the evening of that day, the same day at evening being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and he spoke some wonderful words. This is what we want him to speak to us today. Peace. Peace be unto you. Oh, if he speaks this peace into our souls, if he gives us his peace, friends, it will be a wonderful day to us. He said to these disciples in another chapter, in the 14th chapter, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled." Oh, that he might speak this word to us this day, "Peace be unto you." Now we have some of these infallible proofs that our text speaks of in this 20th chapter of John, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. They were infallible. They were real proofs that he was risen. And here is one of them. When he had said those words, "Peace be unto you," he showed them. What a condescension. He showed to these disciples his hands. He showed them the marks that the nails had made. Infallible proofs. He showed them his hands and his side. He showed them the side where the spear had gone. Oh, these were the infallible proofs of his resurrection. When he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And the Lord repeats what he's already said to them. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." But then we have the record of Thomas. He wasn't with them the first time they were gathered. And so the other disciples tell Thomas, "We've seen the Lord. We've seen the Lord. He showed himself alive to us," as our text says, "to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs." And so they say to Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." What did Thomas say? "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails." He wanted this proof, this infallible proof you see in our text. He wanted to put his finger into the print of the nails. And he wanted to thrust his hand into his side. And he says, "Unless I do that, I will not believe." And so after 8 days, they were together again, and Thomas with them. And Jesus knows all about Thomas. And he knows all about you and I, friends. He knows all about our doubts and fears. He knows all about our trials, all about our distresses, all about our afflictions. He knew all about Thomas. And so he speaks to him, "Reach hither thy finger, Thomas. Behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing." I believe this very word of the Lord Jesus was an infallible proof to Thomas. He realized now who it was. He showed himself alive after his passion by this infallible proof to Thomas. And Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." I do like the verse that comes after that. Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." I believe we are among those who have included in this second part of this verse. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. We've never seen the Lord Jesus as Thomas did, as the others did, but what a mercy if we've been brought to believe. Believe in him, believe in his resurrection, believe in all that he has done for us. So we have there the Lord Jesus showing himself alive to Thomas and giving those proofs there, but we have it further brought before us in the latter part of Luke 24. We find those disciples gathered together again, and the Lord Jesus saying to them, "Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Infallible proofs. And then he gave them another infallible proof. While they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said, "Have ye here any meat?" He began to eat with them. This was another infallible proof. They gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. Yes, the Lord Jesus gave them these infallible proofs as he took the piece of broiled fish and the honeycomb and did eat before them. And he speaks to them, he says, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs. Oh, how many are these proofs we have in the Scriptures. I believe we have further proof in the last chapter of John's Gospel. We have the record of seven of these disciples, these apostles, and we have Peter saying to the other six, "I go a fishing." And the others say to him, "We also go with thee." And they went forth and entered into a ship, and immediately, and that night they caught nothing. It's like you and I, friends, when we try to do anything in our own strength, we shall catch nothing. We shall not receive anything. But when the Lord Jesus appeared, he was standing on the shore in the morning, and he speaks to them, "Children." Oh, that he might speak to us in these words today. Children. Oh, to be among his children. To have the Spirit's witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Oh, this is wonderful when we can feel we're his children, among his family. There is a family on earth whose father fills a throne. Thou a seed of noble birth to men their little known. Children. He says to them, "Have ye any meat?" They answered him, "No." And so he says to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the ship." We need, you know, to do what these disciples did. The net of prayer. Cast it on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Ask and ye shall receive. And when they cast, now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. And John, this wonderful man, you know, who was given such great faith, he says to Peter, "It is the Lord." He knew immediately. "It is the Lord," he says. The Lord is showing himself to these disciples by the Sea of Galilee, by these infallible proofs. And Peter, when he heard John say it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. He must get to where Christ is as soon as he can. He swims to the shore, and the others come in a little ship, dragging the net with fishes. And they saw there on the shore the fire of coals, and the fish laid thereon and bread. Infallible proofs, friends, that he was risen again. Bring of the fish ye have now caught, he says to them. And Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes. They had another instance here of the power of Christ in drawing those fish into the net, in wonderfully fulfilling his word, in granting these fishes for their food and for their maintenance. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so now the Lord is going to appear to Peter especially. What did we read in the chapter just now in Corinthians? He appeared to Cephas, another name for Peter. Now the Lord Jesus appears to Peter especially on this occasion. Because when they had dined together, he speaks to this man particularly. Wonderful how he speaks to these particular characters. We've seen how he spoke to Mary Magdalene particularly, how he spoke to those disciples as they were gathered together collectively. Now he speaks to Peter personally. This is what we want, a personal religion. We want him to speak to us personally. Jesus says to him, Simon Peter, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? This is a question, friends, he needs to put to us today. Lovest thou me more than these? More than these other disciples? More than these material things? More than all these things without? Do we love him more than all these other things, friends? Can we say with the hymn writer, do not I love thee, dearest Lord, behold my heart and see. The one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. This is a question, you know, we need to be brought home to us daily, really. Lovest thou me more than these? Because we are often turning aside from the Lord. We're turning aside to other things. We're taking too much concern in other things, material things. Lovest thou me more than these? And we notice how this was spoken three times. Peter denied his Lord three times. So when the Lord Jesus showed himself alive to Peter after his passion, he speaks to him three times. Lovest thou me more than these? The first time Peter answers, yea, Lord, thou knowest. And we have to say that sometimes to the Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee. He does know. He knows whether we love him or not. He can see into our hearts. He can see the depth of the heart. He knows exactly whether we love him this morning or not. Thou knowest, says Peter. How often that word comes in Scripture, thou knowest. And we realize he knows all things. As Peter says here, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Now what did the Lord say to Peter after he had questioned him and after Peter had answered him? Feed my lambs. Show that love. You see, friends, it's not enough to love in word. That's what John tells us in his epistle. Let us not love in word only, but in deed and in truth. And so, when the Lord speaks to Peter and says, feed my lambs, he's saying to him, show that love in serving me, feeding my lamb. Oh, it's been a pleasure to some of us to feed his lambs in the past, to take the Sunday school and to bring God's word before the children, to feed his lambs. I remember years ago going through the Pilgrim's Progress with the children and how it was not only beneficial to them but beneficial to us. We learnt a lot in those days. Feed my lambs. The lambs need feeding as well as the sheep. And then you see, when he comes to the second time, he says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter has to say the second time, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And what does he say now to him? After the feeding of the lambs, you see, and this is how the Lord has led me in my pathway. I had to go and feed the lambs in the Sunday school. And then eventually the Lord led me into the ministry. And after the feeding of the lambs is the feeding of the sheep. Feed my sheep. Show that love by serving me. And how wonderful when we can serve the Lord in these ways. It's been my pleasure to serve the Lord in the sending forth of his word. And we feel we're helped in it from time to time. We're strengthened to do it. And that word was a great blessing to me the other day that I read this morning at the end of that chapter. It was a great strength to me as I was led to this verse. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. See, the chapter we read deals with the resurrection. And if we have that before us, if we have that wonderful eternal life before us and realize that we should be raised again ourselves, it's an incentive to still go on laboring. Therefore, that's why he says, therefore, in that last verse, therefore, my beloved brethren, and he felt a special love to these Corinthians, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. And we need more like Ruth, you know, in the church today, steadfast. We read this, that when Naomi saw that she was steadfastly minded, she left off speaking to her. Be steadfast. Oh, to be more steadfast in the ways of God. Steadfast, unmovable. Didn't the Apostle Paul himself say in another place, none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself. He wasn't easily moved. And if we're in the Lord's service, we shan't want to be easily moved. We should want to continue, unmovable, always abounding. Oh, there's so much more to do in the work of the Lord, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know. And I felt I could say, yes, we do know that our labour in that connection is not in vain in the Lord. Why? Because the Lord has given us a promise. He said in his word, my word shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in that whereto I have sent it. So we know that our labour is not in vain in the Lord. We might often feel it is. We might often feel when we preach the gospel our labour is in vain, but it's not really. It is not in vain in the Lord. And so Peter's work, you see, was before him. And that's why the Lord showed himself alive to these apostles after his passion by many fellow approves, because they had a work to do. They were going to feed the lambs and feed the sheep. And how many Peter preached to on the day of Pentecost. You see, before this he had performed that miracle in Luke 5, of the fishes, and he had said to Simon Peter on that occasion, fear not, thou shalt catch men. He was a fisher, you see, but he was going to be a fisher of men on the day of Pentecost, and the Lord was preparing him for it, and he was preparing him here as he speaks to him, and he says to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? Thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep. Oh, I see the time is gone. But the Lord grant that we may realize what a wonderful thing it was that Jesus showed himself alive to these apostles after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. May the Lord at his blessing. Amen.